once was a people who could see the face of God, but had not yet. They knew that God was real and existed because God had just rescued them from slavery, and so they were a wandering people. And they wandered and they wandered. And they followed a man named Moses and camped in a place called Sinai, facing the mountain. And Moses went up this mountain to meet God. And as Moses was walking up the mountain, God called down with a message for the people that they would form a covenant, that if the people would listen and obey what God said, the people would be favored among all nations. And so Moses turned back and came down the mountain to gather the elders so that they might hear God's proposal. And the elders, without even letting Moses finish, agreed to the covenant and told Moses, "Everything God says, we will do." So God told Moses to prepare the people for 3 days. They were to center themselves and pray and gather together, for God would come down the mountain in a thick cloud to make his presence known to the people. So Moses sat with the people and prepared the people for their holy meeting. And on the third day of their waiting, loud claps of thunder and flashes of lightning and a thick cloud covered the mountain, and an ear-piercing trumpet blasted from the sky. And the people are terrified. Moses leads the people to the base of the mountain to meet God as they shake and tremble. And they see the base of the mountain is filled with smoke as God comes down to the top of Mount Sinai as a fire. The whole mountain shudders in huge spasms. The trumpet blasts grow louder and louder. Moses speaks and God answers in thunder. To the peak of Mount Sinai, God calls Moses and gives him the laws that the people must obey to keep the covenant. But the people, experiencing the thunder and lightning, the trumpet blasts and the smoky mountain, are afraid. They pull back and stand at a distance. To Moses, they say, "You speak to us and we'll listen, but don't have God speak to us or we will die." But Moses told the people to not be afraid. He told the people that God had come to test them and instill a deep and reverent awe within them so that they would keep the covenant. This is a story of the first covenant that the people did not keep. And when you hear this story this way, if you have ever been in a relationship of guiding a child into growing up or learning something, you might understand the reasons that this covenant didn't go so well. The people were afraid. The people elected not to see and have a relationship with God in the same moment that they agreed into a covenant of relationship. They were terrified. And so our scripture today is the introduction of the second covenant presented by Jeremiah, a prophet, who was very angry all the time until these last five oracles at the end of the book, where he changes and becomes hopeful because the people change and become despairing. And so this second covenant reads and begins with, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. It won't be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant with me, even though I was their spouse, declares the Lord. No, this is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after that time. No, this is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel. I will put my instructions within them and engrave them on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. They will no longer need to teach each other to say, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wrongdoing and never again remember their sins. How different a covenant this presents itself to be. And what's remarkable to me is that this second covenant was written before the fall of Jerusalem. The people that Jeremiah is speaking to have been exiled. They have been dominated by the Babylonians, but they have not been taken over quite yet. Not been destroyed quite yet. As long as they have a king who obeys whatever the Babylonian king says, they're going to be fine. But after about 4 years of this puppet king being in place, the people are understandably so pressuring him to align themselves with the Egyptians so that the Egypt people might come and release them from the Babylonian rule. And the king in Babylonian hears about this and comes in for 3 years, destroys everything. This covenant, this second covenant, is written right before this happens. And when I read this covenant not in this context, it makes me think, well, surely good things are about to happen. Surely everything is forgiven and everything's going to be wonderful. And in the next few years, literally everything goes wrong. The people are exiled, some to Babylonian, some are stuck here. The ones that are still there have nothing left. Everything has become so much worse than it had been. So what do the promises mean? What does the covenant result in? In the first covenant, the act that was rooted in God's promise was liberation. In the second covenant, it's rooted in forgiveness and relationship. This mutuality of the realities of the world and evolution of consciousness for people who perhaps had begun to realize that doing everything right doesn't always mean that everything will go right. Forgiveness runs deep in this scripture like fertilizer in a ground that's just waiting to burst forth with a deeper and more solid and rooted relationship. About 5 years ago, my friend came in to my office and told me that her 2-year-old had been diagnosed with a brain tumor. But the brain tumor was not a typical form of cancer and so could not be treated. And the brain tumor was not located in a convenient place and so could not be removed. And the church gathered around my friend and prayed and supported her. They brought their family meals. They took their family places for 5 years. When Eli, the little boy, was only supposed to live for 6 months. Last night was the first night my friend slept without her son by her side. In one day, she wrote, everything changed. 2 days ago, Eli had been running around and playing as Heather, my friend, knew that at any moment, the tumor was going to take over. The doctors had told her that the time was coming. And in one day, he fell down to the ground in pain at 7 years old. And in one night, he was released in a bright light to be in the great beyond. the new covenant. The ways in which we have grown and learned that we can do everything right and still things can go very wrong. The new covenant, the one in which we are all equalized, we are all loved, we are all formed in a way that our DNA understands that no matter what falls apart, no matter how many things, how many people are torn apart, God binds us together in love in a new story. For Heather, I have never witnessed so many miracles come from prayer, from a community that gathered around each other and stuck together, that showed up every single week around this little boy. Because they knew they might not see him the next week for 5 years. A congregation that was full of people because they loved each other. Because they understood that the next week might not be the same. I have never seen someone beat a diagnosis like that. And the only reason that I can think that that happened is because of love. Because people showed up. Because people helped one another. And in this great loss that consumes this whole community that I used to call my congregation right now, all I can think about is that the miracles are not over. That the miracle was never about one child, but it was about a whole community that never gave up, that believed in spite of all of their separateness, which is what sin is. That God would bind them back together over and over again in a way that would create new life, restoration, forgiveness for all of our inability to help one another in the ways that we wish we could. Provide healing, resurrection, new life. That really our call in the new covenant is to be together when those things aren't possible. To show up knowing that that might not be or will not be the end of all of our stories. So here we are, a new congregation, wandering together, hearing the slight, subtle rumbles of a thunder calling us into a new future where we know not yet what awaits. But we have the assurance and the promises that no matter what comes, we will have God's love and we all have one another. Amen.